Welcome to the next section on living the best life, what we've called a discipleship journey. Today, what I'm asking you to do is to have your Bible ready and a journal. This journal was given to me by a friend at church, and I found it invaluable in my life. So he knows who he is. Thank you so much for blessing me with this book, this journal that I can use on my journey, my spiritual journey. So in our introduction last week, we reminded ourselves of our Oasis vision, where discipleship is central to who we are and what we do. And we're using the scripture from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as you love yourself. So living the best life, a discipleship journey, is all about loving God, loving others, and loving yourself. Hopefully you'll know that by now. But if you haven't, let's say it together. Loving God, loving others, and loving yourself. Last week we looked at the relationship triangle, the upward relationship with God, the inward relationship with our church family, and the outward relationship with those who do not yet know Jesus as their personal Lord and Saviour. Today we're looking at the subject of a change of heart. So what do we mean by that? Well, we're going to be looking at a word, or the word, repentance. So when you and I became a Christian, it was first of all because God sought us out and we experienced what I call a God encounter. God met with us in a very powerful way, and that encounter totally transformed our life and changed the direction our life was headed. In that encounter, we realised who Jesus was. We realised our need for him. We realised our need for forgiveness that only Jesus could give us. That only Jesus could truly forgive us. And so we asked him to forgive us of our sin. And this is where our upward relationship with God begins. So let's look at repentance in a little bit more detail. What is repentance? So repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Before we made the choice to ask Jesus to become our personal saviour, we used to live our life in the way we wanted to live it. We'll do it our own way. But now we've made a conscious choice and decision to live our life in the way that Jesus asks us to. In fact, in the way that Jesus commands us to. So in the New Testament, remember it's written in Greek, the Greek word for repentance found throughout the New Testament is called metanoia, which means a transformative change of heart. It's talking about a spiritual conversion. Through our decision, we have had a spiritual conversion, if you like, a heart transplant. And something wonderful and amazing happened within us. There was a divine exchange where God came and now lives within us through his Holy Spirit. In this series, we'll talk more about the Holy Spirit later on. But the Holy Spirit will transform us from within and help us to become a disciple. He will help us to become like Jesus, to live like him, to behave like him in this world, and to help others to become disciples too. So repentance is where we move in a complete change of direction, 180 degrees turn towards God. before our decision to follow Jesus, we were walking on what the Bible called a broad, wide path that leads to destruction, where we lived our life in the way we felt we wanted to live it, in our own way. When we invited Jesus into our life, when we accepted him as our personal saviour and turned our back on doing things our way, we started to go his way. We stopped singing the song, "I'll do it my way." And now there's a new song in our heart that says, "We will do it his way." And at that point, Jesus gave us a fresh new start, a clean heart. And he placed us on a different path. And the Bible calls that path the narrow path. At one point, we were far from God, but now we are part of God's family because of what Jesus did on the cross, where he died for our sins. And now we can live a new life, a life forgiven from our past, and we have hope and a future. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he writes this in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 13. "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." We were once far away, but now we are near. Repentance is a personal, absolute, and unconditional surrender to God. And now we are not only part of the family of God, we're living in what is called the kingdom of God. As you read your Bible, you will find that we are now part of a kingdom called the kingdom of God. Every kingdom has a king or a queen. And we have now willingly placed ourselves under the supreme rule and authority of Jesus, who is the king. He is the greatest king. There has never been a greater king before him. There will never be a greater king after him. He is the king of kings, and we have the privilege of serving in his kingdom. And so we now surrender our will to his will. We surrender our plans for his plans, and we surrender our purposes for his purposes. So to help us understand repentance a little bit more, let's use four R's. What is the first R? The first R is responsibility. So first of all, we recognise that we have done wrong. Sometimes people don't like the word sin, but that is what God calls it. As we read the Bible, that's what the Bible calls it. It calls it sin. And the Bible teaches us that sin separates us from God. Each of us need to take responsibility for our own sin and acknowledge it for what it is, sin. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome explaining that every person who has ever lived has sinned. That is except one person, and that is Jesus Christ himself. So in his letter to the church in Rome, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, it says these words. Now, I would suggest that you learn this verse. If you don't know already, write it down and ask God to speak to you through it. Romans 3, 23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Towards the end of the Bible, you'll find a letter that's written by the Apostle John, in 1 John 1, verse 8. This is what he says: "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So the first R is responsibility. The second R is regret. This is where we have genuine sorrow for doing wrong and for the pain and problems we have caused. Acknowledging and confessing our sin is conditional for receiving Jesus' forgiveness and to have this new, clean start. 1 John 1 verse 9, again, write it down, read it, learn it. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he, which is Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is such a precious verse, and I want us to learn it if you don't know it already. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The first R is responsibility. The second R is regret. The third R is resolve. We are saying we do not want to repeat the sin again. Even with the best intentions, we will sin again. But in resolving that we don't want to sin as we did before, we're inviting God in our upward relationship with him. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us the strength to overcome any temptation to sin that will come our way in life. Again, Paul writes to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. The three R's so far are responsibility, regret, and resolve. So what is the last one? The last one is repair. This may probably be the most difficult for us to repair any damage we have done to other people. And of course, this could mean many different things for many different people. We might, for example, need to apologize directly to someone we've hurt. Or maybe we need to repay someone financially for things that we've taken or destroyed. In the Bible, in the New Testament, we have a story of a tax collector. He had purposely overtaxed people to make himself rich. But once he met Jesus, something radical happened in his life. There was a divine exchange for Jesus, for Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus met Jesus, Zacchaeus asked Jesus for forgiveness and a fresh start. And he began to repair the damage he had done. The Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark and Luke, 19 verse 8. This is what it says. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." It's important to understand that repentance is ongoing in the Christian life. As a disciple of Jesus, we will continue through a process of repentance. We will never be perfect this side of heaven. But what we do need to do is remember what it cost Jesus on the cross. To remember how he died for us so that we might live. He paid the price that we could never pay so that we might have a clean new start. This precious gift to us cost Jesus absolutely everything. Because we have this clean new start, this new life, it does not give us license to sin the way we did before and think we can keep repenting of that sin and get a fresh start every time. Genuine repentance means we resolve in our hearts to turn our back from our old way of living. Of course, there will be struggles and battles with sin. And Jesus knows that. And he sees our genuine desire not to sin. And as I said earlier, what we do is we invite the Holy Spirit to help us overcome the sin and ask him to replace it with an even stronger desire to become more like Jesus. It's a good discipline now to get the routine of keeping short accounts with God, to confess our sins to Jesus straight away, and to ask for his forgiveness. In our upward relationship with God, as our disciples, we are told to confess our sins so that we may be forgiven. Let's remind ourselves of that verse found in 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In our inward relationship with our Christian family, we are also encouraged to confess our sins to other disciples and to ask them to pray with us through the struggles and battles that we have. We'll talk more about this later on, but it's important to ask somebody you have built trust with, not just anybody, somebody that you can trust, to pray with you and to stand with you and to encourage you through these difficult times. James 5, verse 16. Again, this is a scripture that you might want to write down in your journal. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So, as we conclude part two of our Living the Best Life, a discipleship journey, we're going to ask you again to take time and learn some of the scriptures that you've heard today. Think about the things that you've been struggling with. Think about the battles that you have. Write them down in your journal. Invite God to come and help you overcome them in the strength that only he can give you. Ask him to continue to work in your life and to renew your mind and to keep your heart clean, so that those things you struggle with will no longer be important to you and that they will be broken in your life once and for all. Maybe there's something you need to ask forgiveness for. Is there something specific you need to do to try and make things right? Ask Jesus to speak to you about this. Ask him to give you the wisdom and the opportunity for this to happen. This may be one of the hardest things you've ever had to do. But if Jesus is asking you to do something, then he will walk with you through it. And remember, you also have a church family that will also stand with you and help you. Is there anything else you feel Jesus is saying to you? Write it down. If you need to talk to one of the pastors, please make an appointment and one of the pastors will be available to help you talk this through and pray these things through with you today. So finally, let the transformation journey of a lifetime continue. Thank you so much for listening.